Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to a super Saturday as it is. Good morning from the streets of St. Petersburg, Florida. It's round four of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup for 2022. John Hindorf and Shea Adam in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre for you today as we're readying ourselves for the second of two races this weekend. We'll bring you up to date with what happened yesterday in a few moments' time, and we're ready to go live in sound and vision with our colleagues from NASCAR Productions and IMS. Part of the IndyCar weekend this weekend, of course, the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5s, and we are, well, expecting some more fireworks, quite frankly. Great win yesterday for the local lads, and thoroughly enjoying his time on the track, fulfilling a lifetime's ambition, he said, to win on the streets at St. Pete for Jared Thomas. Engines have started on the false grid. Let's bring in Shea Adam. We have got a couple of minutes to talk about what happened yesterday before we go live in sound and vision, Shea. And what happened yesterday was, to anybody looking from the outside, it would have looked like a tremendously hard-fought race. But we felt, I think, didn't we, that there was a little bit being held back by the drivers yesterday.
I think the word we used was conservative, which is not often a phrase that we associate with the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup. There were very interesting moves made during the race, a lot of choices and decisions to back out of attempted passes. I don't think we're going to be seeing that today, though, but that still doesn't mean that we didn't result with cars in the wall at the end of the day, John. We wound up with drivers like Dante Tornello, who got taken out fairly early on in the running, contact with Matthew Dirks. Well, Matthew was one of the drivers for McCombie McAleer Racing, that team at the track until 2:30 in the morning to repair various cars under their tent. They have eight cars running with them this year. Two of them needed new subframes. So it was quite a bit of work going on for the teams. And even though we thought that they were being a bit conservative, well, the team owners didn't necessarily think the same.
So what does that leave us with for race two of the weekend in terms of a car count?
We are down to 28, a paltry 28 cars. That's still bigger than most of the other fields running this weekend. So it is a very good turnout. We do not have Moise Uretsky, who's focusing on his SRO commitments. Max Opalski, who could not find a new car after contact on Friday. I believe it was qualifying that left him without a vehicle. And Rossi Lee always was planning to run the first race of the weekend, but never the second. He's got some family commitments back home. So that means that we are down those three cars, but we still have 28 competitors. And to be perfectly honest, 25 of them realistic race winners.
Got a couple of minutes before we join up live in sound and vision. So how has the points situation been affected by yesterday's race? Because there were some big swings late on in the race with various people having problems, others making some positions.
The top three are still the top three. That's the good news. Jared Thomas leads over 130 points now ahead of Chris Nunes, 990 to 860. Celine Roland, though, with a big jump back, he's got 850 points, so only 10 points behind Chris Nunes, or one position if you're off the podium, basically, in the points count. Joey Attanasio, rookie, 770 points in fourth position. And Gresham Wagner, the defending series champion, 750. Then we've got in close contention Sam Paley, Connor Zilich, and Bruno Carneiro, So it's going to be an interesting one today with a lot of points up to grab. Remember, 10 points for the most laps led. That went the way of Jared Thomas yesterday. 10 points for the fastest lap. Well, that was Justin Piscitelli yesterday. And then Glenn McGee has already claimed the 10 points for the pole position.
Did you have time to do the rookies or not?
The rookie points are not published separately yet. I just had to do the math on my own last night.
Okay, thank you. That's Shea Adam with me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea, a veteran of our Le Mans coverage, as well as an integral part of our IMSA radio team. Almost time to bring all of our community together. Hello to you. Good morning if you're listening to us trackside here at St. Pete's. Good to have your company live. Free, no blocks, no breaks, sound and vision via IMSA Radio and IMSA TV, IMSA.tv, IMSAradio.com. You can hit the live on the live video button, and that will be getting fired up in about 5 seconds' time as we're ready for race four on the season of 2022 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup.
The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
So a little bit of a delay here if you are just joining us. The previous session for the NTT IndyCar Series running a wee bit long as there was an accident at the end. Romain Grosjean involved in that particular little get together. So we are hearing that we have heard that the cars are rolling. Welcome along to IMSA TV and IMSA Radio live from the streets, the early morning streets of St. Pete's. Good to have your company wherever you're joining us this Saturday. Another picture perfect day. Beautiful blue skies. Shadows a little longer than there were yesterday afternoon for race number one. And cars on the pit lane looking absolutely fantastic. We are down to 28 of the original 31 runners with a number of problems for those three cars. The Copeland Motorsports number 29, the Spark Performance number 48, and the McCombie McAleer Racing number 55. Also cars to keep an eye open for as well in this race. Connor Zilic had problems at the end of the race with brake issues yesterday and dropped way down from being second in the rookies in a top six position from memory all the way down to the late teens. So that quite clearly hurt his prospects. So, Shea Adam, a quick run through the championship standings after the first race here this weekend.
We've got Jared Thomas still firmly in control of the points ahead of Chris Nunes. They were teammates last year. They are no longer teammates this year as Nunes is running for Formidable Racing, one of the best names on the grid. Céline Roland is in third in the championship, a mere 140 points off of the overall lead. And you might think that sounds like a lot, but when it's 350 points for the win and 10 points for last place as the grid is now, it's a big swing possible for each weekend. Joey Attanasio, the best of the rookies, sits fourth in the overall championship right now, ahead of last season's champ, Gresham Wagner.
Shea Adam with the points. Brilliant. Absolutely lovely location for a motor race. The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup cars, part of the IndyCar program this year, mostly on the IMSA docket, of course, although there is a run out with NASCAR at Road America later in the year. St. Petersburg, Florida, wonderful place to come at any time of the year, and if you can combine it with motor racing, I say that's two big ticks in your boxes. Just under 2 miles, 1.8 miles, 14 corners, down the runway straight to turn one, difficult to get your braking point there because there's all kinds of paint on the end of the runway, through the twisties to turn four, running down First Street before you turn right into Second Avenue and then onto Beach Street and Central Avenue before you're onto the shoreline, Bayshore Drive, down towards turn 10, another opportunity in these Mazdas to make a brave overtaking manoeuvre down the inside. 11 and 12, fast chicane. Set the car up for 13 and 14, the hairpin that brings you back onto that runway. That's a lap of St. Petersburg for these Mazda MX-5s. John Heindorf and Shea Adam with you, 45 minutes on the clock. These are proper race cars, come in as street cars from Japan, straight into Florida, actually, and then taken to Daytona, to where the Fliss brothers work their magic, strip them down to pretty much the bare shell. Out comes all of the extraneous bits and pieces that they don't need for a race car. In goes more than 250 full race parts, including a Multimatic DSV suspension kit, a SADEV sequential gearbox, all of the FIA roll cage and safety systems as well. Of course, fire suppression system as well. We had to test that out at Daytona in the first two rounds, and it worked perfectly well. They're strong, they're safe, they're fast, and they're very cost effective. Hello to all of you trackside at St. Pete's. Good to have your company listening into IMSA Radio and IMSA TV as we're ready to go for round four of the 2022 championship. Shea Adam with me, John Heindorf in the booth. We had a cracking race yesterday. And Shea Adam, it was a tour de force for JTR Racing, and Jared Thomas in the number 96 led the most laps, led when it counted as well at the end of the race.
Yeah, took the lead away from our pole sitter Glenn McGee on lap two and never looked back. Now for Jared Thomas, there was a bit of respite during the race. We did have the safety car utilized, so he didn't lead possibly as many laps total as he could have. There is a slight bit of fun where we do count up how many laps are led over the course of the season. So I'm sure that Jared Thomas had wished that that yellow was a little bit shorter so he could have led at least a couple more laps around St. Pete. But as you very rightly say, he continued his winning streak. He won one of the two races at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta at the end of last year. He won one of the two races to kick things off on the high banks of Daytona International Speedway this year. And already a race winner on the streets of St. Petersburg. Three very different tracks for the JTR driver. And his dad, Dave, would be smiling at the end of the race yesterday because they started with four cars and they finished with four cars. So it was a good team performance.
Tremendous work, as ever, by track services, by the marshals and the corner workers. We had two interventions by the Mazda MX-5 safety car in the 45 minutes yesterday, but they were short. They did, of course, bring the field back together, and particularly after the second one towards the end, in the last third of the race, that really did change the complexion of things, if not at the very front, certainly for the minor position share.
Oh, it did. And we had a lot of incident over the course of the race that affected things, too. Tyler Gonzalez starting second today. Yesterday was a DNF. He had an axle failure coming down into turn two.
Oh, wow.
That was actually fairly central in the race. So he didn't get to participate in the entirety of the contest. Well, he's starting on the outside of row one today, looking up to make up for quite a bit of that. Another driver is Connor Zilich. He's somebody to keep an eye on. Yesterday, he made his way all the way up to sixth position, wound up finishing 17th when he had a brake issue on the final lap. So that cost him several positions, as you could imagine it would. Well, Connor's got a busy day coming up because not only is he participating in this race, John, he gets out of his Mazda MX-5 Cup car, drives across the state to Sebring International Raceway, and then is participating in the Trans Am weekend there. Wow. So Connor, in very much in his comfort zone and his prime in the Mazdas, will have that other race to worry about later on today.
So just waiting for the command down on the pit lane. Although I have to say the IMSA officials, I see Johnny Knotts down there enjoying a bit of sunshine. The pit lane officials are still working their way down the line of 28 cars. We can't be too far away. There was a little bit of cleanup to do. I think Alex Palou was involved in an incident towards the end of the IndyCar session. There'd been a couple of red flags before that in the NTT IndyCar series, so that's why we're just a little bit behind schedule at the moment. It is not pleasant to be sitting there wondering what's happening. You know that this can happen when you're a support race, absolutely. Been there myself, but nobody's telling you what's going on. You've really trying to focus on getting your car round, getting some heat into the BF Goodrich tyres and into the brakes, and then hopefully making a good start. So you've really zoned into that. And what you don't know is when you're going to have to start to perform. It looks like we're getting ready to go. The pit officials doing their best through hand signals, Shea, to let the drivers know what the situation is.
Yep, and we've got less than a minute now until the engines are going to be fired. The time was 10.05 a.m. local. That was given to us as a very late update after that cleanup for Alex Palou. Good morning, by the way, to team owner Stephen McAleer, who's sitting in the Turn 1 grandstand. He's very close to our buddy Rooftop Ray, who's the camera guy up there for Turn 1. But Stephen McAleer, part of McAleer-McCombie Racing, they were at the track until 2:30 in the morning trying to repair some of their cars. They had a very good day as far as Sam Paley was concerned, finishing sixth, and his teammate Justin Piscitell taking the fastest lap of the race and coming home seventh. It actually moved both Paley and Piscitell up the points a little bit, given their finishing positions. Hello, Ray Ray, as we get a view of his camera as well. But it wasn't all good for the team altogether. Two subframes needed to be replaced on the various cars. And if you're a fan around the track of St. Petersburg and you want to go home with a little bit of Mazda love, well, rumor has it there is a big pile of spare parts out front of the MMR camp.
Probably not usable if they're sitting there. In fact, definitely not usable or reusable, but a nice memento. The Mazda MX-5 safety car is rolling as we are getting very close now to green flag for round four of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Championship 2022. The four-cylinder engines are being revved and warmed up. The BF Goodrich tyres getting cleaned off with a bit of weaving. There'll be a bit of braking and accelerating to get some heat and some pressure into the BF Goodrich rubber on those specifically made racing wheels, part of the package to turn these cars that started life as a street car being built in Japan into full race machines. Sam Paley just going down to turn four as the whole field starts to now get their race faces and their race mindsets into gear. Wherever you are joining us from in the world, it's almost time to go racing. On the NTT IndyCar Series weekend here at St. Petersburg, Florida, 45 minutes on the track. Beautiful conditions, and here's how they'll come to the green flag. Glenn McGee, local driver for JTR, will lead them to the green in the 23 car. Tyler Gonzalez for Copeland with that bright orange car, the 51 alongside him. Gresham Wagner, championship contender, Spark Performance, number 5 on the inside of row number 2, with Sam Paley in the dark blue McCombie McAleer Racing, number 28 alongside him. Jared Thomas, yesterday's winner for JTR Motorsports in the 96, the silver car with the yellow rollover hoop. He's on the inside of row 3 and has Michael Carter, championship winner a couple of seasons ago for Carter Racing Enterprises. Not a great day for Michael yesterday. Lost pace in the second half of the race. That 08 car, he'll be looking to do a lot better today. Celine Roland, the 87 for Hickson Motorsport in 7th position inside of row 4, and he's got Justin Piscitell on the outside of that row, the number 89 for another McCombie McAleer Racing car. That's got the bright yellow wheels. Bruno Caniero, who was the best of the rookies yesterday, makes up the top 10 with Aaron Johnson. And we're racing very, very close indeed down to the first corner. Sam Paley pulls out in the blue car and tries to go all the way around the outside. He's got the second position in a roll. A roll at the start of the race. This could well bring out a red flag, not just a yellow when there's a car upside down. That was a huge incident. It is Hyman from down in the field. Woody in his JTR Motorsport number 82. Everyone else has gone through. Already we've got the IMSA AMR safety team there.
Oh, great work.
Very good work for the guys to get there so quickly. And they're talking to Woody in that upturned Mazda. Full course yellow asked for immediately from race control, as you might imagine. Now, there'll be an assessment going on there from the AMR safety team, one of the best in the business, and they're with us at all of our IMSA rounds. We thank the hard-working ladies and gentlemen there. Also involved there, I think, was the number 37 slipstream car. That's Mike Stab, one of the rookies. He's dropped right down to the back of the field. There was a couple of cars here that had to basically pull up short to avoid the incident.
Yeah, and one of those cars was Jameson Riley, I noticed, in the 31 machine. Now, he managed to get the Hard Charger Award yesterday for passing the most cars at the back of the field once again. But I really feel for Woody Hyman because his family was giving him a bit of grief over the course of the weekend, John. It's a new wrap on that car, a new livery for the JTR engineering machine. And his family was saying, just don't scratch it. Well, sorry, guys. It's a little bit more than scratched. But the good news is that the safety cell appears to have done exactly what it needed to. And the car is being flipped back over right now. Woody is still in it. Yes.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you make there, Shay. Because although these are open-topped cars, of course, that doesn't mean that there's no protection for the drivers. There's a rollover bar at the back, but there's also a rollover bar at the front and a full safety cage. What the safety workers are doing now, along with the recovery truck, is trying to get that to a position where they can safely extricate Woody from the car. What they won't want to do is put it right back on four wheels, because that could be quite a big bump. So they're doing an assessment on Woody. They'll be talking to him. Woody has unfastened his FIA safety harness and the side net has been taken off, and he will be able to step away from this. Extraordinary that we're seeing that happen, with great work done by everybody concerned, including, of course, the guys up at FLIS, who have installed all the safety and racing equipment on these Mazda MX-5 racing cars, the cup cars.
And a big shout out too to Long Road Racing, because they helped develop this safety kit way back when the cars first came over with the second generation of these cup cars. So Tom Long, who's been a factory Mazda driver for such a long time now, he's one of the guys who has helped create that safety cell. And I'm sure Woody Hyman will be going over and shaking Tom's hand at the end of this one.
Little round of applause from the knowledgeable spectators at turn one and two grandstands there. Woody able to take his hands device and his helmet off himself. He didn't need to be helped out. Well, let's see if we can try and unravel what happened there. We came down to the green flag. Woody was about mid-pack. It was a pretty good side-by-side start. There was one or two people out of line further back, including Jameson Riley. That might get him a penalty later. He checks up, and I think it all happens in front of him. Yes, it did. Now, who else was involved there, Shay? I saw Jameson having to pull right up. It's easy to spot the bright yellow number 31, but I still didn't see what started the Woody. He was right down the inside on the inside curb and hit it with his right wheels. Also right in there, the number 65. That was the Hickson Motorsport car that had the problem yesterday at turn 14-15, Bryce Cornet. And he was up on two wheels for a moment. The good news is, although the car's got some scratches and dents, it is the driver that we are always concerned about, and Woody Hyman is fine. So that started with him being right up on the inside curb. Bruno Caniero as well, the Salt Lake City, Utah native for Hickson Motorsport, in the 21, he was involved, and that's pushed him down to 25th position as the car's are being routed through the pit lane for the safety workers to be able to do their job well. Really smart piece of race officiating to mean that we didn't have to red flag the race, because there was an alternative route past the incident. Now, the clock has continued to run. We started with 45 minutes on the clock. We're 5.5 minutes down, and probably another lap or two, Shay, before we can go back racing.
Yeah, and what a testament to our track workers and our safety officials that there was a car on its roof, so to speak, less than 5 minutes ago. That's already been cleared away. The tow truck is beginning the process of leaving. We're going to be back to green within 10 minutes of a car having rolled over, when yesterday it took about 20 minutes to clear a car that had gone into the tires in that same neck of the woods. So a very impressive display that we've seen so far this morning. I'm a little concerned for Carniero's car, though, John, that 21 machine. It looked almost as if Cornet got airborne over the back of Carniero. I'm wondering if there might be some sort of suspension damage for either the 65 and or the 21.
I'm being informed that from the accident starting, it was 32 seconds to the IMSA EMR safety crew being at the side of the car and talking to the driver. Not even just a golf clap from us in the booth here. We doff caps and we are not worthy. True professionals. And along with all of our track workers, corner marshals, etc., at this event and around the world, thank you so much for giving something very precious, your time, your experience and your talent, so that we can enjoy motor racing. So coming through the pit lane one more time, it is Tyler Gonzalez who leads for Copeland Motorsport. He did get the jump on Glenn McGee, who was on pole position before the yellows came out.
Bryce Cornet, John, is showing as being in the pit lane a couple laps down, so I think there was a bit of damage to that number 65 machine. And the guy who finished second in the scholarship running last year is still in the pit lane. I believe that was the sole red Mazda that was sitting there on our shot of the pit lane. So we have lost Cornet, Hyman, and Michael Staub is showing as not starting the race. Right. So perhaps it was David Staub that we had seen earlier on in the blue machine.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely agreed. Let me run down the cars as they are sitting in behind the MX-5 safety car with that number 65 in the pit lane, the red and white and black car, mostly red car. Tyler Gonzalez for Copeland then in the 51. That's the yellow, sorry, the orange, white and black, the Copeland car. It's a very distinctive slash cut livery on that car. Glenn McGee is the multicoloured JTR Motorsport number 23 in second. Sam Pirley's the dark blue McCombie car in third position, the number 28. Then another orange and green car, that's Spark Performance and Gresham Wagner. I think we're coming back to green. This is extraordinary work. And yep, Tanning is waving the green flag with some gusto as they come across the line. And immediately Glenn McGee goes to the outside wall, trying to get round the outside into turn one. The right-hander, he's on the left-hand side, the leader. Here comes Jared Thomas in the silver car with the yellow roll hoop. He's trying to make his way back to the front. He was our winner yesterday. He's already up into fourth place. Might even get third here. Thinks better of it in turn three. Heading down First Street towards the right-hander that'll take them onto Second Avenue and then onto Beach Street, Central Avenue, and then Bayshore Drive. That's how it snakes around in this part of the track. Normally, it would be follow my leader around this part of the circuit, but the MX-5 drivers, well, they don't know what that means. They'll go side by side anywhere in the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup.
We've got some penalties coming in, John, from the original start. Pulling out of line too early. Bryce Cornet, that one is basically just being said because he's still in the pit lane. Aiden Fosnacht in car number 15. And then also we've got the 31 machine, that's Jameson Riley, all being pinged for the improper start.
On the wall, the black with bright green stripes at turn 10. That was a brush of the wall at the very, very least. Let's see if that slows down that particular car. That is the... I think that was... was that Varwig in that car? Or is that Azanasio? It was an Azanasio, yes. The timing screen's just changed. So he's lost a couple of positions there. There's a contact at turn one. And around goes Glenn McGee. And that was... that was Jared Thomas in JTR. That is JTR on JTR there, blue on blue. And he's facing the wrong direction and falls down. Now, has he kept the engine running? That might be a penalty for Thomas. contact in turn one, right on the ragged edge of adhesion. Sam Pearley trying to go around the outside in the blue McCombie McAleer racing car. Gonzalez leads by a full second from Wagner in second, 51 from five. Then Celine Rolland in the lighter coloured 87 Hixon car in third. Then Jared Thomas, and like a swarm of angry hornets behind him, it's Pearley, Carter, Nunes, Piscatel, Varwig, Fasnacht for the top 10, and they are all one behind the other as they head to turn 10 again.
Since Stephen and Chad are listening to us, guys, get on the radio with Sam Pearley. Tell him do not pass Jared Thomas or take any risks, because it looks like Thomas will be getting a drive-through penalty for that one. Haven't heard anything from race control as of yet, but that was definitely Jared Thomas's fault going down into turn one. Dove down the inside of pole sitter Glenn McGee, and Glenn is going to be ruining his luck, thinking, what do I have to do to lead a lap around here?
Peeling off into the pits. Was Fasnacht, I think, there. Yes, it is.
Yep.
Aiden Fasnacht. So that's his outer line penalty. This is a drive through. He's going to come in at the back of the field, but not off the back of the field. Through the leaders go again. Also, yeah, that's Fasnacht coming through in the darker coloured car. So he's going to lose the back of the field, actually, now. They've all gone through. I thought he might have just been able to jump back on to Glenn McGee, who is a little bit off the back. Maybe those two can drag themselves back to the pack, and another safety car, of course, they'd be right back in it. So let's just remind you of what's going on. Fastest lap, and this is important, Gresham Wagner, 124.9, has the Mazda fast lap. That's 10 points to his championship charge. But it's Tyler Gonzalez, who's now just 0.3 seconds ahead. That last lap, and that fast lap from Wagner. Ooh. Oh, on the wall again at turn 10. Now, that
was a big hit for Sean Varwig.
And it's cost him a position already as he drops back down through the field. I think that was Atanasio. And also right in there as well is the Thomas Stars and Stripes 44 car. You cannot take those kind of liberties at turn 10. It's a quick corner share, and that wasn't just a kiss. That was a thump, and if he's come away without suspension damage and wheel damage, he's done very well.
Yeah, he has. And Varwig, who was a bit unsighted by that was Joey Atanasio making the pass down the inside of him there, opened his hands up a little too much and then found the wall quite hard. There was a big plume of white concrete being kicked up, but then he takes Mickey Thomas and pulls in Thomas's right side mirror as well. So, Mickey, welcome to MX5 Racing. You're not going to be able to see behind you very well.
Side by side, those two cars as they are into the right-hander at turn four. And Thomas has to give best the orange and bright green car sitting in behind. That is the number 69. That's the car of another JTR Motorsport car, Anthony McIntosh, the man from Milwaukee. There's a few dinged up cars already. We said shit yesterday, we thought they were being a little bit conservative. Big sideways moment at 10 again for the 88 of Varwig, and this time he keeps it off the wall, but he had to pinch that corner on the exit, and that's cost him his position. And he's got a BF Goodrich tyre that's smoking now on that side, the right rear. Not my surprised face here in the booth, because that was the side that took the big hit, the sideways hit on the wall, and that slowed him down. And Mickey Thomas has gone through to 11th. Piscatel's now up to 10th. Atanasio down to 9th, because Connor Zilic has just made up a position in 8th, and it's Chris Nunes in 7th. Then we've got Carter Racing Enterprises, Michael Carter 08 in 6th. A little bit further ahead, there's a pass for position for the lead, was it? No, that was for 3rd, 2nd and 3rd. Gonzalez still out front ahead of Wagner and Celine Rolland.
Glenn McGee, Gresham Wagner, and then it's Tyler Gonzalez.
Yes, Gonzalez dropping back. That's back down to third place. So the leader at the completion of the lap share is now down to third. So it is Wagner who's pulled his way through. There's something spooky going on here. I wonder if somebody's lost a timing transponder.
No, Glenn's almost a lap down. That's what the
point is. Of course
it
is.
He was taken out by Thomas.
Thank you, Shea. With all the excitement going on behind, I forgot all about that. So the 23 car with the iRacing logo on the bonnet. He's about to go a lap down, and he pulls out to the right-hand side down the runway straight to allow the leaders to go through. Blue flag waving.
Excellent.
Faster cars coming past. Céline Roland trying to get on board with the leaders. Glenn, you confused me there. Having started on pole position, I expect to see him at the front, of course, but he had to pull up short, didn't he, at turn one after that incident. So, five, Wagner leads. Gonzalez, 51 in second. Céline Roland in third. Jared Thomas just a little bit further back, and he's now got to deal with the lapped car of Glenn
that
McGee.
That he put a lap down, ironically enough.
Yeah. Yes,
you know,
good point. Spun him around,
right?
Yeah.
Gresham Wagner is wishing that he had a radio to Tyler Gonzalez to say, hey, don't battle with me. We're bringing Céline Roland back into this. And Céline, who is a native to this part of the world, he comes from Orlando, but he frequently flies into St. Pete to go eat at the restaurant and then flies home because he's a private pilot. You need practice. He is loving this battle in front of him, drawing him straight back in. Fastest lap of the race so far with Céline Roland. Last time around, he's coming.
124.6. For Céline. So at the moment, he is the recipient of 10 points. And points, well, all good for your championship charge, as in any season-long competition. Bit of bragging rights, maybe some silverware as well. But it's not just that here in Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 share, because there's a huge prize fund in real folding-type dollars at the end of the season.
Yeah, you get cash in this championship, depending on where you finish, all the way down to 10th place does it pay. But for the champion, it's 250 grand cash. You can do whatever you want with it. Second place is 80. Rookie of the year is 80. There's a scholarship for bringing drivers into this championship every year. It's $100,000. So there's a lot of money that Mazda invests in grassroots motorsports to try and move your way up. But we have destination, as this championship is now, because drivers strive to get here and then they stay when you can win real prizes. We do have that drive-through. Jared Thomas has been pinged for incident responsibility. So that's going to take the 96 out of the running for today's win.
That is fourth place car, the silver car with the yellow roll hoop. Sam Paley just gone through on Michael Carter. That was the battle for sixth position. Sam in the blue car, Michael Carter in the red top, white middle and black bottom. So it seems that Carter's issues with pace from yesterday are continuing. That car completely rebuilt after hard contact with the wall at the last couple of races, the last race weekend on the high banks of Daytona. It was after the checkered flag, actually. But pretty much everything, I think, Shea, you said in front of the windscreen pillars had to be replaced on that car.
Yeah, it was Roland who had the contact after the checkered flag. Michael Carter was during the race, and
correct,
he went up hard into the outside wall. As no, Dante Tornello's off again, and Aiden Fosnot not having a good race today. They are off in turn 10. But yes, Michael Carter, completely new car from the windshield forward. He and his dad did manage to test things out earlier in the week. They were okay with it. They brought the car to the race, but it doesn't have the pace that we are used to seeing from the 2 years ago champion.
Well, here's Glenn McGee and Jemison Riley and Bruno Caniero's chance. But I think this is going to bring out a full course yellow for this incident at turn 10. Tornello was a victim of an incident yesterday. And this time he goes down the inside, overtaking a couple of cars at turn 10. And the 15 car, the black car and grey car, getting very stiff contact there with the number 27. So Tornello again, unwitting victim of that car. Aiden Fasnacht, remember, had just done that drive-through shift, so he was trying to bring himself back. And that was just an error of judgment there from Aiden. 25 minutes still to go. We're still under green flag at the moment. Race control giving those two cars the chance to refire and pull themselves out of the wall if they can. And this could be crucial. Last year, we saw races decided with passes just before full course yellows went out. Through turn one, top three, Wagner, Gonzalez, Roland, absolutely together. We've already had... Now, this is really sensible. Jared Thomas has pitted straight away. So if the yellow does come out, he gets the chance to get back onto the end. So he's pitted for his drive-through immediately. So Roland now has Sam Paley trying to hunt him down. Further back down the field, Chris Noones and Joey Adonazio. No, that's not Joey Adonazio. It is Connor Zilic, isn't it?
And it is.
The two red cars. Adonazio's the black car with the green behind. And they're scrapping over seventh position. And the Mazda MX-5 safety car is leaving the pit lane full course yellow with 24 minutes exactly still to run.
Thomas timed that penalty to be served perfectly.
Yeah.
He had set the fastest lap the lap before, came in and served the penalty. The yellows come out. He's going to bunch straight back up on the rest of the field. And we know his car is fast. Right now, the 10 bonus points going his way. We're going to see a slew of cars trying to fight to reclaim that honor. But Gresham Wagner leading is okay if we stay behind the safety car because it means he gets closer to getting the 10 points for most laps led.
That's a fair point you make there. I reckon Jared came out in 17th position. So he's going to be able to just about see the front of the field and he's going to have something in the region of maybe 15 or 18 minutes of green flag racing, potentially green flag racing, to carve his way through. And we know what a fired up Jared Thomas can do. Had a great car yesterday, was the class of the field. So behind the Mazda MX-5 safety car, round four of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup on the streets of St. Petersburg this weekend. Here's how they stand with 22 and a half minutes to go. So exactly halfway through this second race of the weekend for our drivers and teams. It's Gresham Wagner for Spark Performance that leads in the number five from Tyler Gonzalez, frontmost starter. He's in second position in the 51 Copeland car. Then Celine Roland in the 87. And that is the Hickson car. McCombie McAleer represented in the top four by Sam Paley. Michael Carter has found a bit more pace than yesterday when he was languishing around the bottom and just outside the top 10, in fact. The 08 red, white and black car is in fifth. Connor Zilic is the top rookie at the moment for Hickson Motorsport, the number 72 car in sixth position. Chris Noones for Formidable Racing is just ahead of Joey Adonazio, his formidable teammate. And I mean Formidable Racing teammate, but in fairness, Joey was pretty formidable yesterday and finished one place ahead of Chris Noones. Seventh and eighth for the 32 and 42 Formidable Racing team. Justin Piscitell inside the top 10 again for McCombie McAleer Racing with those bright yellow wheels on the 89. The top 10 made up by the third of the rookies, that's Mickey Thomas. And that is another Formidable Racing team car, the number 44. That's how they stand with a bit of cleanup to do on the streets of St. Pete's. The BF Goodrich tyres getting a little bit of respite from racing. So the drivers down the runway straight towards corner number one, the left-hander. And already we have turn 10 being cleared up. Really useful here. Although this is a street circuit and been coming here very, very many years now with back to the American Le Mans series days. And it's unusual for a street track that there are places to be able to drag the cars away very, very quickly. And indeed yesterday in the race, and I'm still not sure how this was accomplished by our brilliant safety crews and corner workers, they did manage to get the Tornello Hickson car out of the way, albeit early in the race when the field was still pretty bunched together. But they did it with I think two laps of local. They let the cars go by. They ran out with either a jack or just used Marshall's power, corner worker power, and dragged that car behind the wall through sheer brute force and force of mental power, I think. And we didn't actually need an intervention from the Mazda MX-5 safety car. Just getting these cars out of the way.
And it's even more impressive, John, when you consider that the track is only 1.8 miles long. If we were talking about a place like Road America, where you've got 4 miles, then it's a bit different. But 1.8 miles means the cars are coming by every minute and a half.
Yeah. And even with local yellows, that, you know, it's 2 minutes under safety car. But under local yellows, as you say, it's probably a little bit closer to 90 seconds rather than the 124s, 125s, maybe a little bit more than that. Good news, by the way, Fasnacht and Tornello both out of their cars. And we do have the fire and rescue EMT unit there. That's standard practice. They'll go to the infield care centre. I think one of the cars is going to be dragged a little bit further out of the way. I thought we might have somewhere between 16 and 18 minutes to go.
John, just looking at where people are in the race, how about a shout out for Mickey Thomas, yes. Formidable Racing, another kid from Dawsonville, Georgia. People might know that area locale for Chase Elliott, or 2 years ago NASCAR champion. Mickey Thomas is a guy with a lot of off-road racing experience. He's a world champ, actually, in off-road racing. And he is loving this street course stuff because there are no walls when you're racing off-road, but they certainly are there in St. Pete. And he has really taken to it like a duck to water. Good job by the American flag number 44 machine.
And that number 27 Mazda of Woody Hyman also being, whilst we're under full course yellow, that getting that car back from its resting place at turn one. 18 minutes still to go. So a little bit more bump and grind today, more hip and shoulder being applied by the drivers that has seen, let's not forget, Jared Thomas penalised for a tap on his teammate that sent Glenn McGee all the way back to the end of the line. The irony being that Justin served his drive-through and sits in 17th, Glenn all the way back in 23rd. White flag on the start finish line is not for the end of the race. That tells the drivers that there is a slow-moving vehicle ahead of them. And I see what's happening. The safety crews and the recovery are taking a couple of damaged Mazda MX-5 straight back to the other side of the front straight, the runway straight. That is
back
where
to their paddock.
Exactly. That's where the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup paddock is. So they're taking this opportunity rather than just dump it and then have to potentially recover it from somewhere else. Particularly as we start a little bit late, it'll allow the schedule to be caught up on for subsequent sessions. Smart thinking by everyone concerned. But I think given that those cars and trucks were pretty much off the circuit, so long as we get the recovery vehicles back to their stations, we might be going green at the end of this one.
I think Gresham Wagner should have the most laps led wrapped up at this point, but a couple more laps would definitely do it.
And why is that important, Shea?
10 bonus points, and every point counts in the championship. So Gresham Wagner comes into the race 20 points behind Joey Attanasio. Of course, leading will help him jump up the standings. And our points leader coming into this race, Jared Thomas, back in 17th. He's got a couple of positions to make up if he wants to hold on to that championship lead.
Right, get back to the edge of your seats, everybody. 15 and a half minutes to go. That wasn't a bad guess, was it? I was about 30 seconds out to where the green flag is been re-shown at the start finish line, and immediately Celine Roland pulls to the left hand side down the inside, though Tyler Gonzalez having a look, the lead has gone wide, Wagner goes wide at turn one, he's lost the lead, he may lose second as well, he's off the track there, right across the red and white curbs, and he has lost second. Celine Roland goes through into second, third it's going to be Sam Pearley up to third in the blue car, he's defending from Carter down the inside to turn four, the 08 car's coming through into third. Gonzalez slips from the lead to fourth position, second to fourth position. Gresham Wagner went from the lead, and Pearley's got damage. And so has Carter.
Carter into the tyres.
At turn six. So this is the time to go. If you've got anything fast left in the draw, take it out and throw it at the track. So let's just summarise what happened. Gresham Wagner was leading, dropped down as far as fourth or fifth. He's back up to third now. And it's Sam Pearley who's dropped down to eighth at the bright blue number 28. and straight on for Tyler Gonzalez. That's the leader. Leader has gone straight on at turn 10, and he was half a second ahead of everybody. I don't think he was under pressure there. I may be wrong, but I don't think Roland was that close to him. So Celine Roland, what a restart lap. What an incident and action-packed restart lap. Gresham Wagner back up to second, but Celine Roland, who started at that lap at the green flag in third, comes out on top by 1.1 seconds.
Connor Zillich up to third, Chris Noom's fourth, Joey Attanasio in fifth, and our championship leader is back up to 15th already. I think he got a few more. No pressure for Gonzalez.
It was either brain fade or brake fade. Take your choice. But that is a victory, an opportunity for victory, thrown away at turn 10 by Tyler Gonzalez and Copeland Motorsport. He's dropped 11 seconds away from the back of the pack. There's some damaged and dinged up cars out there at the moment, just looking to see where Jared Thomas is. He's up to 13th. Another wing mirror goes flying, door mirror rather, goes flying in the mid-pack. Roland by
that
a second
Sean
now.
Barwig. That was Sean Barwig again, John, as Connor Zillich is now up to second with a great move in turn 10 on Gresham Wagner. But I'm pretty sure Barwig's car has been in the wall on both sides for sure. Maybe not the front and the back yet, as Chris Noons goes off-roading around the backside of the track. Gives Gresham Wagner an opportunity. No, Gresham's going to lose another position. Joey Attanasio threw into fourth.
He's only second in the rookies, though, because Connor Zillich in second position in the number 72 is the best of the rookies. Roland leads by a second and a half now. All that fighting behind has allowed the very light-coloured whitened. And another long run into turn number one. Are we having brake problems here? But that was five again. That was the number five again of Gresham Wagner in Spark Performance. And somehow he picked his way through the cars that were around him. Went long in turn one, has dropped another couple of positions. Sam Paley and Michael Carter went through. So Wagner, having been disputing the lead not so very long ago, is down to seventh position. At the front, Roland leads for Hixon from his Hixon rookie teammate, Connor Zillich in second. He's got about 3/10 on Chris Noons in third for Formidable. He's got his teammate behind him, Attanasio, and there's been more trouble down the back. Was that the number 88 again involved in that one? That was Varwig again. Sean Varwig in JTR's number 88 with the four-way flashes going now.
And terrible news coming for Joey Attanasio. Drive-through penalty to serve. We think it was for contact with John Jodwain, but still waiting on confirmation of that, as there was contact further back in the field. That's Alex Bachura getting into the side of Bruno Carneiro. Bruno wasting no time with a little bit of international sign language there out the side of his car. So that's two race weekends now where he's participated, showing a little bit of color and immaturity, I think it's fair to say. But the leader is still Celine Roland ahead of Connor Zillich, Chris Noons. And remember, Attanasio will be peeling out. So that puts Sam Paley up into fourth.
And that's big news for the rookie battle. Attanasio second in the rookie race here. Debris on the circuit between two and three. The yellow and red flags are often thought of as just fluid flags, but it actually means there's something on the track that shouldn't be there. There's a rather more colourful way of describing it from my corner worker friends, but I'll refrain from using that now. Quite clearly, that hand signals there saying, we weren't battling for the lead, or you're number one with me. I can't really decide which one that was that we saw early on. Big slide by the red, white and blue. Number 44 of Mickey Thomas as he went on to Bayshore Drive that time around. And the light blue with yellow roll hoop car has gone through. That's Justin Piscatel with the bright yellow wheels. And he's got Jared Thomas coming through as well. That's another car with the yellow roll hoop. So Thomas now knocking on the door of the top 10. You know, he's in the top 10 at 10 with a bullet, you might say, at the moment. He's coming forward, restarted in 17th position after a drive-through, remember, was battling for the lead before that, was in that leading group. 9.5 minutes to go. Right, take a breath. Let's calm ourselves down just a little bit. Celine Roland, cool as a cucumber at the front of the field for Hixon Motorsport, still has more than a second lead over Connor Zillich in second, who's got Chris Noons right up his exhaust pipe. Further back down the field, down the inside at turn number one. Beautiful manoeuvre for the number 13 as Mikumi Makalia Racing's Jensen Altman goes through. Mazda badge lying forlornly at turn number five from earlier contact. Another nice little souvenir. Lovely manoeuvre by Jensen Altman there. That takes him into the top 10. Oh, and he spun. So he just gets into the top 10. He spun right at that point. Turn five. Just as you turn left-handed from 2nd Avenue onto Beach Street. But I think he's got the motor running. Should be able to continue from there. Roland at the moment. Sorry, Shay, go ahead.
On behalf of Altman's parents, I think it's better if you don't mention him again because it does seem to be curse of the commentator. Speaking of curse of the commentator, sorry, Mickey Thomas. He's come into the pit lane, not sure what for, but let's see if he's able to continue.
Yeah, drop way down outside the top 20. Don't think that was a race control issue for Mickey, but I'll very quickly, Shay will have a quick check on that on the screens. But I didn't hear anything. Coming down to 8 minutes, still plenty of laps to go through, still plenty of potential action for us to tell you about. Leading rookie is in second place overall. Cracking battle going on for fourth, fifth, sixth, and on down from there. Sam Paley in the metallic blue number 28 with a little bit of a gap between himself and Chris Noones, who's got a little bit of a gap between him and Connor Zilic, who's got a second of a gap between himself and Celine Roland, the leader. But those three cars, all of a sudden, those three cars, Paley, Carter and Wagner, have stopped fighting. And the moment that they do that, they start to gain on the cars ahead. Now, these guys have raced against each other all of last year, and they know that if you're going to be in with a shout, you've got to be there in the last 5 minutes. And none of them pulling out the line now. It's noticeable, Shay. None of them are jockeying for position. What they're trying to do is let Sam Paley lead them onto the back of the battle for first, second and third.
Because Sam Paley was rookie of the year last year as David Staub runs long in turn 10 but manages to continue on. I think that was him, 39. We've also got Gresham Wagner, last year's champion, in sixth. Michael Carter, 2 years ago's champion, in fifth. So all of those cars, fourth, fifth, and sixth, have won championships of some sort or another within this series. They know how to make the cars work well together. All they need to do is to be calm and work their way back up to Connor Zilic and Chris Noones, and then, hopefully, Celine Roland.
It's fascinating for me talking to the drivers last year in between races when we had them on Midweek Motorsport over on RS1, sister station to IMSA Radio, that they were saying, yeah, you know, what you try to do early part of the race, there's a bit of jockeying for position. You might have six or seven cars at the front of the field. You'll try and work with the guys around, see if you can cut that down to maybe four or five. And then in the last 5 minutes, you want it then to be a race between maybe, if you can, two or three of you. So you know you've got a podium at that point. Still the fastest lap of the race, 124.4 for Jared Thomas, sitting in behind Justin Piscitell. So that's 10 points for him at the moment. 25.0 last time around for the leader, 24.9 for second. So that lead just going up a bit that lap. But it's come down since the last time we mentioned it. It's down to 0.75 seconds now. So Celine Roland pacing himself. Or has he overcooked his BF Goodrich tyres? The Paley Carter Wagner 12-wheel train of MX5. Not quite on the back of Noones, but not far away. Just looking down the timing screen here, the rookie division has been decimated here. Connor Zilic leads it second. We're down in 12th position. Is that right? Yes, yeah. It is. It is the number 69, Anthony McIntosh. That would be his best finish in the rookie championship.
Yeah, it would be. And we did have that Aaron Johnson was involved with Jensen Altman when Altman went around. It was reviewed, I'm hearing from race control, inconclusive. So there will be no further action. Right. on that contact. Our last running car on track, by the way, is down in 21st position. That is Glenn McGee. So still on a comeback drive after, well, starting on the pole position, almost leading a lap. He's now down in 21st, but he's still circulating and still making up positions on the rest of the field. Celine Rolland is starting to fall into the clutches of rookie Connor Zilich.
The problem for Glenn McGee with that safety car came out, it didn't help him because he'd already gone a lap down. So, you know, he's probably mixing it with other cars within that group, but he went a lap down and there's no lucky dog or anything like that here, so he didn't get a wave bite. So at the front of the field, 3 3/4 minutes to go. Celine Rolland will be able to see right behind him the red, white and black number 72 of Connor Zilich. Meantime, Sam Pearley decides it's time to press the go button. He's caught and now passed the number 32 of Chris Nunes. We had great scraps between those two last year. This is only the second season for Sam Pearley. He was one of the leading lights in the rookie championship last year. Ran the car in a dark grey stroke black, depending on how the light looked. Gone to a very fetching metallic blue. And you know how partial I am to a dark metallic blue car shape. That one really caught my eye when we saw it at Daytona for the first two races of the season. Well, Pearley has been able to get up to third. Carter and Wagner have not been able to go with him. So now, can he improve even more and upgrade that third step on the box to something even better? He's about a second away from Connor Zilich, who now is half a second back from the leader. 2.5 to go.
So we should have 2 more laps, as there has been an off. Is that Anthony McIntosh?
It is.
Our other still running rookie contender. That is off in between 12 and 13, it looks like. Can he get moving once again? Well, BF Goodrich's are known for their off-roading capabilities.
Yes, that's true.
That is a lot of grass.
I think he's just waiting for the corner worker to give him the nod that he can come round, because there's a blind corner in the chicane there at 12 and 13. At 11 and 12, rather, and he's in the gap, the short shoot between the exit at 12 and the turn into the right-hander at 13. A lot of these cars starting to move around as the sun is getting a little higher, the shadows are getting a little shorter, getting a bit warmer on the track. Rolland has got company. There is a battle for the lead. Then a gap, then two cars battling for third, and here comes Chris Nunes, looks to the inside, the left-hand side towards turn 10, thinks better of it. This is an absolute cracker. It's boiling up for another classic Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup finish. Grandstand finishes. We have them in spades here all through last season. White flag is in the air. 1.8 miles from now as the leaders go across the line. Celine Rolland and Connor Zilich. First overall, first in the rookies. Now, Connor Zilich, is this his opportunity for his first win? Michael Carter just loses fifth to Justin Piscitel as they went down into turn one. Jared Thomas has continued his rise from 17th back up to 7th as it stands at the moment. Defensive driving at turn 4 by the blue number 28 of Sam Pearley. Big sideways slide by Nunes. He's almost lost it. Tokyo drift through 5 and still hangs on to the back bumper of the blue car ahead. But that's a real invitation from Justin Piscitel. He saw that sideways moment. He can see a podium finish here. Two cars ahead of him. But if he can pass them in the last half a lap, there's a podium finish and the battle for the lead through turn 10, right up to the outside wall for Celine Rolland as he turns in left-handed. He's got Zilich in behind him. Can't see Zilich's car. He's that close to the back of the leader. Maybe one more opportunity at the final two corners. Slips out to the left-hand side, tries the underneath move. Who gets off the final corner? The better of the two. It's going to be Rolland. Celine Rolland comes to the line and takes round 4 of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup for 2022. Just makes it by 0.061 of a second. It'll be Sam Pearley on the third step of the podium. Then Nunes, Piscitel, Carter, Thomas, Wagner, Johnson and Dirks for your top 10. What a drive back by Jared Thomas after his drive-through penalty for contact with his teammate. Restarted after that last yellow in 17th, fought his way back to 7th, but full marks and full points to Celine Roland. The number 87 Hixon Motorsport makes it a Hixon 1-2 shit.
Yeah, and that's the first podium position for Connor Zilich in this series in his 6th start. So a very good drive from Connor, very well controlled. And for Sam Paley, the first podium for McCombie McAleer Racing, I think at this track. Last year it was Chris Nunes who came away with his first podium at this track. Paley ultimately falling just a little bit short. Well, he made up for it today.
Very, very tight on the line. What is 0.061 of a second down the runway straight? I reckon it's about quarter, maybe a third of a Mazda MX-5. That was all. The start-finish line had been another 100 yards down that runway, we may have had a different result. It matters not to Celine Roland for Hixon Motorsports. 0.061 of a second, that's much more Mazda MX-5 kind of winning margin that we're used to. Sam Paley, a couple of seconds further back, will take third. Zilich wins the rookies, second in the rookies. Jemison Riley fighting back. He was in 12th position overall. And Bruno Caniero, after his trials and tribulations, is third in the rookies, ahead of Joey Attanasio, who is fourth. So after all of their travails, Caniero and Attanasio still pick up good points, but not as good as Connor Zilich. He's arrived, he's on the podium, and he's won the rookie race here as well. And he's marked himself out as a championship contender. All of that said, Hixon will be delighted. Their party will be starting as soon as they start to pack up, I'm sure. And Celine Roland is greeted by his team. A 1-2 for Hixon. And a great nudge for his championship. Good points yesterday, Shea. Better points today.
Very much so. Better points today. And they will be very satisfied with that. I believe Jared Thomas will still hold the championship lead leaving this race. But Celine Roland now goes up into second by my count.
Yeah, so fight back from Jared Thomas up to 7th. Really important for his championship challenge. So here are the unofficial master results then. Hixon take 1-2 with Roland and Zilich with Paley for McCombie McAleer Racing in third. Then Formidable Racing's Chris Nunes in fourth. Juskin Piscatel for another McCombie McAleer Racing car in fifth position. Sixth, Michael Carter. The best of the rookies, Connor Zilich. And delighted to say that Woody Hyman, after a nasty roll at turn one, got out of the car on his own. Fabulous racing all weekend. Thanks to our corner workers and recovery crews for making sure that we got the maximum amount of racing in. Shea Adam was alongside me, John Hindorf, to all of our team, both trackside and up in Charlotte. Thanks for being with us for Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 2022.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.